McLaughlin, good morning to you. You may approach. Are you going to split your time in any way today?
Yes.
You're taking 2.5 minutes?
For rebuttal.
Okay, for rebuttal. So altogether, you are taking 5 minutes? Or?
I'm sorry. So we're the appellant. So okay. Luckily for, unfortunately for you, you've got to listen to me for all 10. But I do think the appellees will be splitting their time. I understand it 5 and 5.
Very good. You may proceed.
Thank you. Good morning. Mark Laughlin, Dave Mullen, and Jacqueline DeLuca for the appellant Bells. We called eyewitnesses and former employees of these daycares who testified about the following child abuse that occurred at the daycares that was known by the daycares and hidden by these daycares. They testified that Sarah Cullen, when they were at the daycares, that she took a shoe, she shoved it in a child's mouth, causing bleeding all over her face. That she took a child who was crying on the top of the slide because she was scared, and she shoved the child off the slide, and the child fell down and sustained injuries. When another child, she was changing her diaper, that the child was crying, and Cullen didn't like it. And so she took the pants that she'd taken off to change the diaper and shoved them in the mouth. There were multiple times when Sarah Cullen threw children down on the floor, and there were multiple times when she took children and she shoved them into walls. Or one time a child turned over and hit his head on a table post. All of these were reported to these daycares, and they hid them. Okay? La Petite, there was our ex-employee says, hey, I filled out this really detailed form that was going to be turned over, incident form on the slide incident that I told you about. I filled out all this detail so we'd give it to the parents. And La Petite said, well, wait a minute, whoa, we don't do that. Ripped it up, said, we want you to give us a vague form. And it was that vague form that they gave the parents height. And it grew with me on the deal on the shove the shoe, the mother. We called the mother, who was a personal friend, the executive director, grew with me, personal friend. That's why the kid was there. And she said how she came in and was lied to and not told about how Sarah Cullen shoved the shoe, that she was told that her child had fallen down and lied to. So these daycares hid it from the parents. They ignored their legal duty to report and hid it from DHHS. And they ignored their legal duty to report it to the police.
What legal duty did they have to the Bells?
Good question. Let's turn right to Section 7. This court in A&W in Lancaster County, and the appellees do a good job of confusing. They're very clear what the issue is. They have a duty to use reasonable care when the actor's conduct creates a risk of harm. This court took itself out of the management of duty, appropriately so in A&W. We don't do duty anymore. That's for the jury and proximate cause. And unless, and this is right out of the restatement that you adopted in 2010, unless there's exceptional circumstances and unless this court can find a public policy here to allow child abusers to abuse again and again and again and again, unless that's the policy here in Nebraska, then this is the duty.
Was there
Paul,
any,
go ahead.
Oh, excuse me, Chief.
Go ahead.
Was there any evidence of a special relationship between the daycares and the Bells? Or between the daycares and Ms. Cullen at the time of the injuries to the child?
It doesn't matter, but yes, there was. Now, under the restatement third, we win, it's an or. Either there's a special relationship or there's a general duty, which there is in every single case unless you find exceptions.
Well, you have,
somebody,
you,
oh,
you
I'm you sorry, I want to finish, but go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Okay. And there's a general duty. They have not cited in a single case that this court found exceptional circumstances. In fact, they don't even talk about it.
I think where Justice Stacey is going is to say, and possibly contrary to your proposition, that there is not always a duty between two individuals. What is the basis of the duty, which is a legal question?
To which I respond, even if there's not a special relationship, this applies. It's an or test under the restatement. Look at
a general duty.
Yes.
And so there's a general duty between all two comers?
Yeah, that's exactly right, Your Honor. That's what this court adopted in A.W. Lancaster. That's 100% right.
You think there's always a duty between two folks, and in this case with respect to a third party as well.
Harm
to a third party.
So do
yes.
all proximate cause issues, are those always jury issues?
Unless the court finds that no reasonable juror could proximate cause, this court has said it's a question for the jury unless reasonable minds could not differ.
Can there be a no-duty case anymore, under your view?
It's pretty darn hard, Your Honor. You've taken yourself out of managing duty.
I think we've said that duty is a legal question.
It is a legal question.
For the court to decide.
100%.
And arguably, there's two folks, A versus B, and they live on different planets. So is it always a duty between two parties?
Unless there's always a duty to use reasonable care for everybody in all circumstances, unless you find exceptional circumstances in public policy. To that extent, yes.
Were some of the activities that occurred to other children actions that would rise to the level of being felony child abuse?
100%. And remember,
a daycare center who has knowledge that one of its employees has committed a potential felony fails to report. They do have a duty to report felonies committed by their employees, don't they?
100%.
And so then the next question becomes, was the failure to report this a proximate cause of the death of this child?
Let me answer that. We put in a whole bunch of issues in our brief, which I apologize, but let me give you the clearest example. Sarah Cullen testified, if I had even been investigated by either DHHS or law enforcement, I would not have posted my resume on care.com. Care.com is the only way that we never would have found her, never would have shaken our baby to death. Okay? Coffey, with all due respect, he weighed that evidence. He said it wasn't probative. But she clearly had foundation to say that. The appellants talk about speculation and hypothetical, but it's only another way for foundation. If she had foundation to say what she herself would have done, you don't need anything else and you can reverse.
I'd like to walk you back to duty for just a second.
Please.
If you'll walk with me.
Yes.
I understood your briefing to suggest that you weren't relying on the mandatory reporting statute as the basis for the legal duty. Is that correct or incorrect?
That is correct.
All right. So the basis for the legal duty on which you rely is simply Restatement Section 7.
And we argue that there is a special relationship, that being the employer-employee relationship that is specifically mentioned in the Restatement 3rd between Cullen and the daycare, which is sufficient.
Did that exist at the time the child, didn't that extinguish, that special relationship extinguish before this child was born?
I'm sorry.
Before the child, was the child born at the time that employer-employee relationship
No.
existed?
No.
And was the child ever cared for by the daycare?
No.
Okay.
But again, I really want to come back, Your Honor. I understand where you're going on special relationship. You and I can respectfully disagree, but it doesn't matter because there's a general duty anyway. It's an or. That's a really big deal, and it's not brief. We don't need that. They have a general duty to act reasonably. And you know the fact, I'm just going to take, well, let me just go, you know, part of the problem is, well, geez, they didn't know the bells. You know, this kind of thought of, well, how would they have warned? It kind of has a superficial appeal if you don't really think about it. But the fact is, that gets into the fact, that gets into the breach. What did they, duty is legal. Don't talk about the facts. And the fact that they didn't know the bells is irrelevant to your duty analysis. You walked out of the duty, you're starting to talk about breach that they don't even bring up on appeal. They don't even charge that. And the fact of the matter is, they're telling you, you're telling me that if they took your grandkid and your grandkid and your grandkid and Sarah Cullen shook one of them and cut off the leg of another one and threw one of your grandkids into a wall and walked out the next day and put her resume on care.com and then the next one of you grandkids is done, there's no duty in Nebraska, how can there not be a duty? Where are the exceptional circumstances? Where's the case? It's outrageous. It is outrageous. And we can't live in a state where the public policy is that way. And that's what they've got to show. It's
well, isn't
a
the question, isn't really the question as to whether or not the child care facilities having knowledge of allegedly felonious conduct of their employee or their former employee has a duty to report that conduct?
We claim they do have a duty, Your Honor. We 100% agree. And it's ironic that they take their... They shirk their duty. They've hidden
well,
it,
public,
and that they use that
public,
as the reason why they
public
would
Public policy wouldn't be promoted if daycare centers could hide felonious conduct of their employees.
100%. My point to Judge Stacy is...
The first question is, did they have notice of this conduct?
They were told by eyewitnesses. 100%. I agree with you. It's crazy that they are relying on their illegal failure to report as why they win this case. But my point to you, Justice Stacy, was it doesn't, even if you agree with that crazy proposition, there's still a general duty. There's no exceptional circumstances. You can't tell me the public policy in the state is this way. Even if you don't buy Judge Wright's argument, which is 100%. They didn't report it, darn it. And our kid is dead. And we should have gotten to the jury. And Judge Coffey made a mistake. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Jaloon?
Hello, Your Honor.
Jaloon, I'm sorry. Yes.
May it please the Court, Mr. Chief Justice, members of the Court, my name is Richard Jaloon. I represent the Appalachian Trophy Child Care. Jennifer Schmatter is director. I'm splitting the 10 minutes with co-defendants. The trial court in this case granted a directed verdict in favor of all the defendants except Sarah Cullen for the reason that the plaintiffs failed to prove proximate cause of the child's injuries, death. I'm asking to affirm the court directed verdict, not only because the plaintiffs failed to prove proximate cause, but because, as a matter of law, there was no duty owed by Grow With Me to the Bells. Also because...
Is there a subject of a cross appeal, no duty?
Yes, Your Honor. And secondly, besides no duty, that this was not a reasonably foreseeable risk of harm at the time Grow With Me supposedly breached this duty. So the two reasons, no duty and not reasonably foreseeable risk of harm.
Did these incidents in the other daycare centers occur before this event occurred?
They did, 5 years before, Your Honor.
Well, and would you agree that some of this activity of pushing a child off a slide could be considered felony child abuse?
Having been at the trial, I don't think so, Your Honor.
Stuffing a shoe in a child's mouth would not be felony child abuse?
Pulling the child, the testimony was the child was pulled down the slide, not off the slide.
Well, I'm talking about now stuffing the shoe in the mouth of a child.
Our executive director questioned Sarah Cullen at the time. She said it was an accident. I know this is a...
What's the net effect of saying child care centers who know that they've got employees that are committing felonies on their wards or their children that they're responsible for have no duty to report that?
They do have a statutory duty to report that, Your Honor. But with all the incidents that Mr. Laughlin described, the witnesses at trial, the main witness against Grow With Me that was a former employee, said there were two injuries, the cut lip, which I don't think it's in the record, blood was streaming all the way down the face. It was streaming out of the child's mouth. That grew out of, there was a cut lip. There was the injury to the cut lip, and a child who was supposedly was tossed into a room and hit a table had a bump, a red bump on its head.
What do we learn by the statutory reporting requirement? Why is that there?
That is a criminal statute that provides a penalty for people who do not report. And that obviously is there to protect children in daycares or anywhere else.
Well, is it not there to protect children in the future rather than punish a historical crime?
I think it is, Your Honor, but duty in this case...
Is that a public policy? Would that come under the classification of public policy?
It's a public policy created by the legislature, but...
And the objective, the beneficent purpose of the public policy is what? Protect children in the future?
Protect all children.
Okay.
Any children that are subject to risk of harm.
Right. So it's not a look-back thing entirely.
No, and that's a criminal penalty. But the plaintiffs are saying the daycares had a duty of reasonable care. And there's 2 points I make in response to that. The duty of reasonable care is owed to the children in the daycare and their parents. It's not owed to the Bells, who never put their child in daycare, it grows to me. He wasn't even born until October, more than a month after Sarah Cullen was fired by the daycare.
I think it's duty of reasonable care under the circumstances. Your opposing counsel is saying, ignore the relationship option. It's what he's saying, as I understand it, is there's a duty of reasonable care under the circumstances and given statutes that require you to report for the benefit of future children.
That's his argument, but he's also saying that he's not relying on the statute, and he said this from the very first hearing in the district court. He said, we're not relying on the statute, we're relying on the duty of reasonable care.
But we have said in Nebraska that statutory violations are some evidence of negligence.
They are evidence of negligence.
They're not negligence per se.
Exactly.
Okay.
And what Bells are trying to do is make a private right of action out of violating duty to report. And Nebraska has not done that.
But what if he's not saying per se? It's not a dog bite. It's not sort of inching up strict liability.
He's not, but they say they mention it about a dozen times in their briefs. The only action by the daycare that they said was a violation of the duty of reasonable care is a failure to report. They don't come up with anything else. The director, Jennifer Schmatter, did interview the witness who said that the shoe went in the mouth. She interviewed Sarah Cullen. But none of this matters if the law in Nebraska, and I think it is the law, is that the duty is owed to the children in the care of the daycare and their parents. It is not owed to the Bells, who they never met, who never had any relationship at all with.
So is this ultimately about proximate cause?
I don't think so if there's no duty, Your Honor.
I think you're backing into the relationship option. As I understand it, opposing counsel is drawing our attention to the general duty based.
Duty
to use reasonable care under the circumstances.
Yes.
And they're the restatement there.
And as you said, if you have a person on planet A and a person on planet B, does the person on planet A owe a duty to the person on planet B who has no relationship at all?
Well, you're saying relationship. I'm trying to get out of that pigeonhole.
Okay, I'm sorry.
And are we talking about the duty to protect a third person from harm? An affirmative duty to act to protect a third person from harm? Is that what we're talking about here?
Yes. What, I don't think that argument was presented at trial, but that's what the Bells are asking this court to do.
And under what circumstances have we recognized an affirmative duty to protect third persons from the criminal acts of others?
I think in the case of the, name is escaping me, but the case where the patient who was known to be violent was sent to a hospital, and the social services sent this patient over for psychological examination, and the patient was known to be violent. They didn't tell this to the hospital that admitted this person, and the person who was transferred to the hospital assaulted a nurse at the hospital.
So there was a custodial relationship.
Yes, exactly. And outside of the custodial relationship, a school and a student relationship, an employer and an employee relationship,
Does foreseeability have anything to do with establishing duty of the child care facility?
I don't think it has under
Would
Nebraska law.
Would it be reasonably foreseeable that a person that worked for the daycare center who had a habit of physically abusing children would not do that to someone else?
I think the reasonable foreseeability shows that there's no negligence here, Your Honor. Under the cases Pittman versus Rivera, Thomas versus Board of Trustees of Nebraska State Colleges. This court
is failure of your duty creates a liability, doesn't it? If there is a duty,
if there is a duty and proximate cause,
and so, isn't there some evidence that if this person had been reported, this would not have occurred?
The evidence. Well, this is where I think the appellants are being very clever. The evidence was that these physical things happened. The shoe went in the mouth. The child was dropped on the floor. There wasn't evidence that there wasn't any finding by the court or anyone that this is abuse. The court, when it granted the directed verdict, gave the benefit of all factual disputes to the plaintiff. And the court said
there's a contrary argument in one of the assignments of error that the court failed to do that at the directed verdict stage.
But again, my point is that the appellants keep saying that there was abuse. That was the fact issue. Did abuse occur here? When the court directed the verdict, they gave the benefit of the doubt to the plaintiffs that these physical actions happened. That doesn't create a reasonable inference that Sarah Cullen would have been charged with abuse, would have been convicted, that Health and Human Services would have substantiated child abuse, put her on the child abuse registry. None of that is a reasonable inference from these facts. Those are all things that could have happened. She might not have placed her name in care.com. She might not have applied for a position with Phelps. Those are all...
So the court directed the verdict on the basis of no causation?
Exactly.
Is that the only... So is that where we jump in here and say that's the only thing on deck?
No, I think on a cross appeal, Your Honor, you have to look at did a duty exist to the Bells, I grow up with me, and was there negligence? And we say there wasn't because the result of Sarah Cullen working in the home of the Bells for 7 weeks by herself as a private nanny was at a reasonably foreseeable risk of harm at the time both me fired her and did not report her for suspected abuse. I think those are the issues, proximate cause, lack of duty, lack of a reasonably foreseeable risk of harm.
What did the judge say?
The judge focused just on proximate cause.
So that's the ruling.
That's the ruling, correct.
Okay.
And we're saying that the court also could have and should have directed the verdict or granted summary judgment for lack of a duty owed to the Bells, although it was owed to the children at Grow With Me, and lack of a reasonably foreseeable risk of harm that Sarah Cullen might 3 months, actually 4 months later, kill this child as a private nanny in the home of someone who had no relationship at all, special or otherwise, Grow With Me.
So you're not, before you sit down, you're not trying to justify the daycare's failure to report, are you?
I'm not, Your Honor. I think the trial court had to look past that and say, let's assume these things happen. The judge said, this isn't a quote, but it's a quote, that even if she had been put on the child abuse registry, and even if she had been convicted of misdemeanor child abuse, Bills never would have found out about it. Never did the background check that would reveal that. Never got Sarah Cullen's permission to check the child abuse registry. They wouldn't have known. And the court said, because of this, if all these things happened, if she would have been convicted of abuse or put on the registry, Bells still wouldn't have known.
So all this encourages child care facilities not to report the violent conduct of their employees toward the children.
No, Your Honor. I respect.
Well, they don't have any duty to report it.
They do have a duty to report. What I'm saying is that in this case, under these facts, that failure of a duty to report, assuming it was a failure of a duty to report, and that's what Judge Coffey had to assume, that did not cause this result, the death of Cash Bell. There's also no duty owed to the Bells, and it wasn't a reasonably foreseeable risk of harm that this woman would put a shoe in a child's mouth and drop children on the floor, would someday kill a person in a private home. So for all those reasons, I would ask the court to affirm the directed verdict in the trial court. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm not sure if I've lost complete control over who goes next. Did we anticipate at some point in time that Mr. Mullen was going to... No, okay. So...
Do I have some time, Your Honor?
We'll give you some time. How much time do you need?
How about we do 3 minutes?
3 minutes. You can have 3 minutes. We'll give them rebuttal time of 3 minutes.
May it please the court. My name is Andrew Schlosser. I'm here today on behalf of Appalese La Petite Academy and Lisa Hampson. Let me first acknowledge that Cash Bell's death in this case was certainly a horrible tragedy. And thankfully, Sarah Cullen was brought to justice for that. The issue before the court is whether the former employers, months and even years before, should somehow be liable for that. Obviously, our stance is that they should not. La Petite concurs with the arguments that Mr. Galoon made on behalf of Grow With Me, but the case for any liability against La Petite is that much more of a stretch of logic and law. It was 5 years between the time that Sarah Cullen last worked for La Petite and the time that Cash Bell was even born. yet the appellants in this case want to go all the way back.
What did she do at La Petite? What was her...
There was allegations of the slide incident where Cullen apparently pulled the child down the slide, and there was some testimony about setting a child down hard, dropping them from 12 to 18 inches off the ground onto their bottom to be seated. Justice Wright, to your questions about whether this was felony conduct, I think the evidence was contrary to that at trial. There wasn't anyone that testified that these actions would have risen to the level of felony, and in fact, I believe Deputy Wheeler testified to the opposite of that. To rise to the level of felony child abuse, it would have needed some type of serious or permanent injury to have occurred.
Were they reportable as incidents?
That is a question that was not... let me take a step back. La Petite at the time did not believe they were reportable, or they would have reported them. Growlithme's incidents at the time, Growlithme did not believe they were reportable. What the appellants are asking to do is for story to...
So finish the thought. So therefore they're not reportable?
Well, the statute requires that there is a reasonable belief that child abuse has occurred in order for it to be reportable.
Well, where did the shoe get stubbed in it? Shoved in the mouth of the child.
That was a grow with me.
That's...
So, not equating child abuse at the felony level, were these reportable?
La Petite determined at the time that it was not. And there is a burden on the daycare provider. In fact, the statute applies to anyone to determine that. So it's up to each individual person that witnesses these things to make that determination first.
Are there criminal penalties for failing to report?
I'm not sure if there are criminal penalties, Your Honor. The daycare licensing, there are certainly penalties for a daycare failing to report these things. And Justice Wright had asked about that, of what is the duty if it's not to report that. That duty runs to the state based on the statute. There's no private right of action.
The purpose of the duty is to isolate and weed out those people who don't treat children properly. And you can take it all the way to a serial killer. If you don't report a killing, granted that's a felony, but the purpose is to stop further conduct.
Well, I think
it's not so much to punish the person that has committed the activity, that's left up to the prosecutor. The purpose of reporting it is, here's someone we know has a repetitive nature of abusing children.
But that duty does not run to all potential victims in the future, Your Honor. And if we look at that potentially limitless scope of victims...
You're saying that it's not reasonably foreseeable that this person, having injured these children, would not injure someone in the future.
No, foreseeability is not a question of duty, Your Honor, pursuant to the AW case.
Foreseeability is a question that establishes potential duty. Is it reasonably foreseeable that the failure to report this could result in the activity that just occurred?
Respectfully, Your Honor, I disagree with that under AW. I believe that foreseeability is an issue of breach of duty. Whether the duty exists is pursuant to the restatement third under AW, and as Justice Stacy was getting at, as far as a third party, protection of a third party under the restatement, that does not exist. There is no affirmative duty to do that absent a special relationship, which did not exist outside of the employment context here, which for La Petite ended 5 years prior to Cash Bell. There are no other questions. Thank you for your time, and we would respectfully ask that the district court's directed verdict be affirmed.
Thank you very much. And now I will give the appellants 3 minutes of rebuttal time.
Thank you, Your Honor. 2 points. Justice Stacy, getting back to your question on what case have we held there's a duty on third-party liability, I'll give you two. The AW case itself, where this court changed the standard, was about whether a school district would be liable for the actions of a third party who came into that school and abused a child in the bathroom. And then the Thompson case that this court decided a month or two ago, or relatively recently, where the court held there was a duty, and then the discussion was on proximate cause. So there is two, and again, there is a general duty.
But weren't those both under the special relationship in the most recent case, the relationship, if you will, was student to university, and in the first case, the relationship was school to student?
I disagree. Well, I don't disagree that those are the facts, but if you go back and read A&W, you go back and read Thompson, there is language in both that says there's a general duty to act reasonably, a general duty under paragraph 7. So I'm not disagreeing with you on the facts, but both of those cases make reference not to particularly to section 7, but to the concept that there is this general duty. One other thing I would like to just turn back to proximate cause real quickly. Another real easy, you know, speculation, hypothetical, what's going on in this alternate universe that we didn't have a chance to live in because of their actions. One thing that you'll see in the briefs is the fact that Barb's client said if she didn't have all this experience, okay, from Grow With Me and our Lavity Grow With Me, the other one, we would have never hired her. Okay? Our wife, the mother said, I would have never hired her, and the father said, I probably wouldn't have hired her. And Judge Coffey, we respectfully suggest, lost his way and weighed the evidence, and this is on page 1329 of the transcript, throwing us out of court on the motion for directed verdict, he said, I understand what she said, but Mr. Bell said, quote, probably wouldn't have. Their own evidence is in conflict on that. And when she says, I hired her being Cullen, instead of Kelly being the other person we were considering, because she had this experience, why is she even interviewing Kelly? And again, just an example of the judge, if he was on the jury, no problem. He can throw out and weigh that evidence all that he wants.
Okay, this is consistent with your assignment of error with respect to the judge's ruling focusing on proximate cause.
Exactly, Your Honor. That's why I'm raising this. Yes.
Thank you.
That's exactly right.
What does foreseeability have with regard to duty?
Nothing. I mean, nothing, Your Honor, in the sense that...
If it's reasonably foreseeable that I don't report this person, it can be reasonably foreseeable that this person will act in accordance with some other person? Doesn't that establish a duty?
Your argument would be the duty already existed.
I believe so, and Your Honor, I apologize. I'm not sure that I'm 100% tracking with you. I do agree 100% with everything you said about the statutory duty and the duty to report and things of that nature.
Well, it's reasonably foreseeable that you don't light your hallways and a rape occurs in a crime area because you didn't do it, but it was reasonably foreseeable that that could occur.
Yes.
That establishes a duty to light your hallways.
That would be one way to look at it. And I wouldn't disagree with you, but I would add to that, there's also this general duty under paragraph 7 that exists for everyone to act reasonably, which would include lighting the hallways, and then you're talking about proximate cause or breach.
In the absence of a special relationship.
Which we don't need in this case.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That concludes arguments for the day. The court is adjourned. And you are excused.